Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Big Topic, where we hear from Laura on a very exciting new development in her life. And we wrap things up with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 139. Hello, Shauna.
Hi.
Hi. So I want to hear your check-in for this week. What have you guys been up to?
Well, we've had an interesting week over here. Yeah. First, I'll start with it was Elle's birthday this week. She turned 5 on Thursday. So that was very exciting. I did the whole Shauna Maiko routine with decorating just extravagantly at night. And her grandma got her one of those climbing domes. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a bunch of metal bars and it makes a dome. And just one more attempt on our part to get these kids more exercise, right? And like more physically active. So that was like in the living room when she woke up and everything. So it was a fun day. She decorated her own cake this year. I was very proud that I stepped back and allowed her to do it however she wanted, which, you know, is hard for me because I love decorating cakes and making them for the kids and stuff. But she was like, had this vision for weeks. She talked about her vision for this cake and she executed it.
And what was it?
Well, she wanted the theme of Blaze and the Monster Machines, which is one of her favorite TV shows from Nick Jr.
Okay.
And it's a bunch of Monster Machine trucks, right? And she decided she wanted a chocolate cake with vanilla frosting and maraschino cherries all over it.
Oh, wow.
So I just sent her to town with like a jar of cherries and she was putting them in everywhere and little figurines from the show. And it was so fun and sweet to be with her while she was doing that and see the joy on her face. And it was awesome.
She obviously takes after you. She picked up the cake decorating gene.
Yeah, she did. The funny thing I was going to mention, though, about how I decorate everything at night and, you know, for the morning, I expect this big, overwhelming reaction and like excitement and stuff. And I can just never, I can never predict correctly how she's actually going to react to things. Like, I expect her to be like, oh my God, and the climbing dome and And she just kind of walked out and like looked around and took it all in and was so subdued.
Oh my gosh.
But yet here we get Chili a new water bowl and she loses her mind when he uses it for the first time. She's like, oh my God, he used his bowl. He used his bowl. And like just loses her mind over
Chili,
that.
Chili the Chihuahua mix.
Yes, our little dog. Yes. So that was an exciting event.
That is really
house.
Funny. You never know what they're going to be interested in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she was internally excited, maybe just too overwhelmed to react. But Cece loves the climbing dome, too. It's a big hit with everybody.
So where does that live now? Outside or inside?
Outside. Oh, okay. Man. It took up a good portion of our living room. So we moved it outside. Much better out there.
I feel like your backyard is turning into like Disneyland at this point for kids.
It is. These kids. Oh, my God. It's like I was telling my brother about some of the things we've bought the girls. And he's like, oh, my God, if we would have had that stuff when we were kids, like, oh, that would have been amazing. It's like we were like playing slip and slide on cardboard boxes in our dirt backyard. That was our idea of a good time. And they've got the sandbox and the climbing dome and everything. So I can't wait for your little guy to come over and play.
Oh, my God. He would love it.
He would.
He's missing climbing because we're not going to the playgrounds again because of the COVID. He really misses climbing. I've thought about those climbing domes. There's nowhere to put it in our house, but
that's hard. Awesome. But yeah, so speaking of Cece, a little update about her. So, you know, I've been struggling a lot with potty training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really hard, I think, because I'm distracted constantly. I can't really completely focus on her and prompting her and everything. And everyone in the household is just distracted. And it goes well some days. But overall, it's not really been going well. And mm-hmm. a couple times I've been tempted to go back to pull-ups and I've been like, no, 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 I've got to stay the course. That's the right thing to do, et cetera, et cetera. And this week, I just felt like it was too stressful for everybody, for me especially, and for her especially. You know, she didn't want to be prompted. She mm-hmm. was fighting every single prompt and having accidents. And I was just like, you know what? Forget it. We're going back to pull-ups and diapers and we're taking a break. I don't know for how long, but that's what we're doing. And I felt like such a failure.
No.
But I did it. And then the next day, you know what I did? I looked at the Oh Crap potty training book because mm-hmm. I wanted to see like if there was any tidbits of advice or anything about what I was going through. And I found a whole chapter on what she calls the reset.
The reset. Yeah, I was going to say you're doing a reset.
I had no idea. I thought that this woman's point of view was like there was no turning back. Because I read this book a couple years ago, right? I don't remember everything.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And so I read this chapter and that's what it was all about. Like if you've been trying diligently for a while, which we have, and it's not working, everyone is stressed, just take the pressure off. Put the potty away, go back to diapers, explain it to the kiddo, and come back a few weeks, maybe a month or two later. So that's what we're doing.
You're on a reset. I think that's good. That's fine. Yeah. Also, I mean, she's still only, what, 25 months old at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel so relieved. It
is good.
Such a gift to not have to constantly be in the back of my mind multitasking whether or not she's been going to the bathroom recently mm-hmm. or like where what her status is and hoping everyone else in the family is paying attention to and are they on top of it. And oh my God, it's just wonderful. So that's where we are with that.
I'm in full support of this because I feel like you have enough stress in your life right now that anything you can do to relieve that is good in my book. So and you know, it's not like she's going to go to college wearing diapers.
No, she's not even going to go to kindergarten wearing diapers. Mm-mm. I have faith.
Yeah, and you know she's capable. It's just she's got a really strong willed personality, and I think maybe she's just one of those kids who really needs to come at it on her own more than mm-hmm. being suggested. She doesn't seem to be a kid who really takes suggestion well. Like she's like, Cece needs to do it herself.
Oh, yes, that's how it is. If she's getting dressed for the day, it's like she has to go in there by herself and pick her clothes and put them on. And this is, it's the same with the potty. She gets so mad when I ask her to do it. And yeah, it just wasn't working. And she was rebelling, I think.
So, you know, my guy, who's actually like pretty good with the potty, he has some accidents here and there, but not much. He has never put on his own clothing, like not a single piece of clothing. He's taken off clothes occasionally, but he has like no interest or I don't even know if he has the skill to like actually put a shirt on over his own head. I feel like kids are just so different, you know?
Yeah. The things that motivate them is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's our week in a nutshell. Laura, what's going on with you?
Well, I was 38 weeks pregnant this week.
You were?
Uh-huh.
Were, past tense. What does that mean?
Well, it's kind of a long story. I was thinking maybe we could take a break and then come back, and that'll be our special segment for this week.
I'm so excited. Let's do it.
Okay.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back, and this week's special segment is... Bora, I think you have something to tell us.
I had a baby.
Okay, tell us more.
That's it. I mean, like,
see you guys later. That's not the end of the story.
Okay, buckle up. So I was 38 weeks pregnant all week. And as most people knew, I had a C-section scheduled for the day I turned 39 weeks pregnant, which is Monday. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to get to the point where I was like really at peace with the fact that I was going to have my repeat C-section because like I wasn't really like showing any signs of labor. On Thursday, I had a doctor's appointment and he didn't even bother checking my cervix because he was like, I can tell this baby is not like down in your pelvis yet. It's not engaged. Whoa. There's no point in checking your cervix. So I was like, okay. And I had been having some like what kind of felt like menstrual cramps. I'd been Googling like, what do contractions feel like? Because every once in a while I would like wake up at night, like during this past week, with what felt like period cramps with a little bit of like a Braxton Hicks feeling to it. But like they weren't painful and they didn't happen regularly. And I told my doctor about this and he was like, yeah, I don't think that's anything. Like that's not prodromal labor or anything. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to have this repeat C-section. And that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was... Mm-hmm. Always one of the options.
Right.
And so on Saturday night, Corey and I, you know, we're sort of going to bed and we're like, oh, how crazy how in like 2 days we're going to have a baby. You know, I'm going to go back for the C-section. And we were talking about how, well, you know, it's nice to know exactly when it's going to happen. And, you know, we'll know how to plan for childcare for the toddler and stuff. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, by the way, I should mention that my mom had just arrived from Portland. Like she rolled into town at 4 p.m. on Saturday.
4 p.m. Okay.
Yes, because she had waited to get her second COVID shot. So she had just gotten into town. So we were all kind of like, okay, cool. Everything's falling into place. We'll have a day to sort of organize. I had a plan for Sunday, which was to organize this drawer that had become like a catch-all for toddler and baby stuff. And I wanted to like use it for baby bottles and pacifiers and stuff. So I was like, okay, we'll do that tomorrow. We'll just have a chill day.
Mm-hmm.
And then this happened.
What?
I have voice memos for you.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So it is currently 4:49 a.m. I woke up at 4:17 with one of those weird feelings like I was having a contraction that I wasn't sure. Oh, wait, here comes another one. I should probably start it. I'm starting the timer. You guys get to hear me have what hopefully is a mild contraction. So those things that I thought were contractions for the last week or so turned out to be a contraction because I felt that. And then I felt some water and then gush, my water broke. So I'm scheduled to have my C-section. It's Sunday morning. I was supposed to have it Monday morning. So I'm like 24 hours out, but I just called my doctor and he said that I can stay at home if I want to try to do this VBAC. I can stay at home until my contractions get painful. So we're going to try to do that. And yeah, super weird. I think it's hilarious that my water breaks just over 24 hours before my planned C-section, but I guess that is a thing that happens. So I will try to take voice memos throughout this, assuming everyone doesn't think I'm a total weirdo for documenting it, and we'll see what happens.
Oh my God. So 12 hours after your mom arrives and 24 hours before the scheduled C-section,
correct.
Your baby's like, I'm ready. He knew.
I guess, you know, it's so funny because later I talked to my brother about it and he's like, do you think there was like a psychological aspect? Like now that mom was there, you knew it was okay. I was like, no. Like, if that was the case, everyone could like plan their deliveries, you know?
Yeah, if only.
But yeah, I was just lying in bed and then I was like, that feels wet. I was like having one of those things I still wasn't sure was a contraction. I was like, that feels wet. And I was like, I should get out of bed. I like jumped out of bed because I didn't want to soak my brand new mattress.
And the things that are important in that moment are hilarious.
Yes. And actually, it's so funny because I was like so proud of myself that like I didn't leak anywhere on like the bed. I was like, awesome. And then gush, like, I mean, really, it was like the movies. I think it must have been what yours was like, too. It was just like sploosh all over the hardwood floor. I was like, well,
yep.
It's like Corey. Corey, he's like, what? I was like, I think my water just broke.
Oh my God.
He's like, you think? I was like, and then there was like another gush. I was like, no, my water definitely just broke. There's no question.
It's yes. It is pretty obvious when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So And it, what did you say? Only like 10% of women get that, right?
I think that's the statistic I read. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, so my doctor said to stay home until the contractions got painful. And I was like, what does that exactly mean? I'm like,
oh.
Period cramps are kind of painful.
Mm-hmm.
But then I called my mom and I was like, oh, my water broke. She was like, are you kidding me? she's like, okay, I'm in a shower. I'm going to come over.
Mm-hmm.
And we were timing my contractions and they were really very irregular, like, but like 15 minutes, 20 minutes apart and very mild.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I realized that they were starting to get a little bit more frequent and I really didn't want to have a baby in the car. And my mm-hmm. mom was like, when I had you, it happened really, really fast. So you better get going. So then I took this voice memo.
Okay, it's 5:55 a.m. I'm sitting in Corey's car waiting for him to run back in because I forgot my wallet. We decided to go in because the contractions, though they weren't getting too painful. My doctor said we didn't have to come in until they were painful. I did get like some pink-tinged amniotic fluid, so we think it might be time to go in. So here we go.
So we drove in. Mm-hmm. And got admitted. And when you're in like the sort of like admissions area, they were like, well, we'll check to make sure your amniotic fluid, you know, your sac actually broke or whatever. And I was like, it did. And they're like, well, we're going to test what's leaking. I'm like, great.
I remember that exact experience. They're like, we need to double check. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not pee. Like, yeah. I can tell. And they're like, nope, nope. But they had to do the test.
Yeah. She like did the test and then she forgot about it. And then like another, it was like the shift change, right? So like the other mm-hmm. nurse came in and was like, well, what's the result on the fluid? And they looked at it for a second and like, they looked at it and she was about to say, oh no, it's not ready yet. And then she's like, oh no, there it is. It's positive. I'm like, I told you. Anyway.
Told you.
So then they checked my cervix for the first time to see how progressed I was. Because I thought, okay, water broke, having some, you know, irregular contractions, but contractions nonetheless. Let's see where we're at.
All right, so we are in labor and delivery. I'm all hooked up to the baby monitors. You can hear the baby's heart probably in the background. Corey's here. We were just sitting around. I got my amniotic fluid check and it was positive, no surprise. I don't know what else would have gushed out of me in the middle of the night. So I'm definitely staying here no matter what, is what they say. And unfortunately, I'm only like 0.5 centimeters dilated, according to the nurse. So that's not super promising, but we'll see what happens. I think they're currently trying to get a plan together with my doctor, and we're just sitting around looking at our phones like a normal morning, except not a normal morning. And that's the update. Oh, it's like 7:09 a.m.
So that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, that's not dilated very much at all.
No. So it was like 7 a.m., and we got checked in and the nurse was like, okay, I've talked to your doctor. He says he's cool with you trying for this VBAC, but he wants you to progress naturally as long as possible before mm-hmm. we do any interventions. And he doesn't want to give you an epidural until you're at least 3 centimeters dilated. So, and he didn't want to give me Pitocin either. I think because Pitocin can be like a little aggressive for... Mm-hmm. You know, for someone who's had a C-section before.
Okay.
All right, so it is 9:55 a.m. We just got moved to a much comfier room with a really pretty view of the mountains north of Los Angeles, covered in snow. I am going to try to take a nap because I am not in active labor, and my doctor says he wants me to attempt to go into active labor naturally without Pitocin. So I'm being monitored and I'm going, he said, like, if I don't go into active labor on my own by like midnight, then he's gonna start it, the Pitocin, it being Pitocin. So we might be in for a long haul. We've been spying on my toddler and his grandma in our living room using our Nest cams. Don't tell my mom. And she has already resorted to showing him television. So he's probably really happy. We tried FaceTiming with him and he just said, more trucks, more truck videos. So I'm just going to try to take a nap and see if contractions start happening more frequently.
That is hilarious about your mom and your toddler.
Yeah, he now knows what Paw Patrol is. I was trying.
No,
it's too late. Once you've introduced it, it's like there's no going back.
Oh, yeah.
But he was in good hands. So it made me I loved having the Nest cams because even though it was frustrating to be like, he should be napping right now, you know, like uh-huh. I knew, you know, I could sort of check in and see how he was doing and could tell he wasn't just bawling or something or screaming
That's
for mama.
Good.
So,
yeah.
All right, so we kind of just had to wait.
Okay, so you were going to try for a nap, which is not easy, even if you're not in active labor yet. But in that room, I just remember suffering through a nap. Were you able to rest? What happened next?
A little bit. So, you know, my contractions were kind of coming like 15 minutes apart, 10 minutes apart. And the nurses were very skeptical about whether I was actually progressing. And my doctor had asked for no cervical checks because he didn't want to introduce bacteria, especially because my membranes had ruptured already.
Right.
So I had this nurse. She was very professional and knew what she was doing, but she was clearly like, look, you're probably going to, like, I think she thought I was going to end up on Pitocin at midnight and, you know, have this be like this big, long, drawn out thing. Mm-hmm. So what happened was later in the afternoon, so that was about 9 a.m., right? Later in the afternoon, all of a sudden, my contractions started picking up. Mm. And I started telling her this, and she was like, look, it's way too soon. Like, it's way too soon. But I was like, this shit hurts. So here's here's my next check-in. Let's see what I said. To be fair, I don't even remember what all these voice memos say. So let's see.
Okay, it's 3:33 p.m. Oh, or something like that. I've been having irregular contractions, but they're fucking painful. So I am asking the doctor, well, I asked the nurse about my pain options. And so they're going to give me a IV dose of some narcotics, it sounds like. And I'm going to hopefully be able to sleep for a couple hours and let this labor progress without being totally wrecked with pain. So that is what's going on. They're like 10 minutes apart. They're irregular, but I would say about 10 minutes apart. I don't know. So we'll see. We're coming up on, it's like 11 hours since my water broke. So hopefully I get some rest.
So what was this narcotic like?
So I don't remember exactly which one it was. It was like two different narcotics. All I know is that it was just like, sent me off into dreamland. Like they put it into my IV and I just floated away. I'm a little sad I didn't like have the wherewithal to try to do a voice memo under the effect of the narcotic.
Darn it.
But I floated away for like a half hour.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
It did not last long. And I definitely had a little bit of relief for at least a half hour, but then I started to notice the pain through the narcotic. So it was a weird feeling, like I was like floating above my body and yet could still feel my uterus like in terrible pain. And so that was kind of the point where I was like, okay, if this is my option and I'm not close enough to 3 centimeters, like I might just ask for the C-section. Because like if they're not going to give me an epidural and this is like what is going on, I don't know if I can handle this. Like,
yeah.
So after the narcotics started wearing off, I recorded this.
We'll see if you can even hear me over the baby heartbeat monitor. So it's 6 p.m. and my contractions are like, what, like 2 minutes apart now? I want to say, Corey.
Something like that,
yeah. They're coming fast and furious. So I have asked for an epidural and they're working on it. The nurse checked me in a very unpleasant way and I'm at 3 centimeters. 80% effaced and station -2, which said she could feel the baby's head, which is a good thing. And it means I'm actually progressing, which is what I wanted to hear. And I am getting the epidural, even though my doctor thought it might be good to wait a little longer. I do not think it's a good idea. So there we are. That's the update.
So what did the contractions feel like?
Oh, man. They were so, like, all-encompassing. So they had allowed me to stand up at some point because they wanted me on continuous monitoring, fetal monitoring, because of the C-section. So I couldn't really, like, get up and walk around much except for when I wanted to go pee. And so I would, like, take those opportunities to stand up. And there was one point where I got up to go pee, and then that's when, like, the contractions kicked in, and they were, like, every 2 minutes. And I got, like, no break, you know, between them. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like, it's so hard to describe. It's like your whole body is on fire.
That's fun.
And, like, cramping. Like, the worst Charlie horse in the world that just keeps coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting because even now it's hard for me to, like, recall exactly what that pain felt like. All I remember is it being like, I remember Corey being like, breathe, breathe. I wanted to be like, I am breathing, motherfucker. I didn't do that, but, like, I was just like, breathing isn't helping here. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. of course it was helping, but I had Corey, like, aggressively massaging my sciatic nerve, essentially. Like, I was like, just press really hard, like, here on my sacrum. And that's, like, the only thing that was helping me.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. But it's funny because when that was going on, that nurse was just like, I don't think you're dilated. And then she checked me. And I remember it being like, it was like to see if I, like, got into college or not. It was like, please, 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 please let me be 3 centimeters so I can get this damn epidural. And then she was like, oh. And she, oh my God, that was really painful too. Like, the other checks I had gotten weren't that painful, but she, like, rooted around in there and I was just like, oh my God. Yeah, it's not fun. But then she was like, oh, 3 centimeters. I was like, thank the Lord, get that epidural.
It's amazing how much it hurts at 3 centimeters and there's still 7 to go.
Right?
It's just like, the whole thing is just so painful.
The whole thing. I mean, I always had respect for friends who did it without any pain medicine or epidurals, but, like, now I honestly don't think I could have. Like, I really think I would have, like, thrown in the towel for sure. But now I have a voice memo from after I got the epidural, and let's see how blissed out I am with this.
All right, so it's 7:38 p.m. I got my epidural about an hour ago, and good Lord, that shit is good stuff, man. I feel so much better already. I have a lot of respect for moms who go the no epidural route because, yeah, those contractions hurt, not gonna lie. So now we're just gonna hunker down for the night and try to get some sleep. And right now my toddler is still awake with grandma, getting completely spoiled by television and trying not to care too much about checking in with that. But yeah, the epidural just really made my day. So yeah, they said, you know, that by morning, hopefully I'll be ready to push. And the nurse is bringing me a peanut ball to help keep my hips in a good position. And yeah, I'm, you know, doing, it seems like I'm doing this labor thing for real. So here we are. I'll check in later if I can.
So did you say that they told you you would be ready to push by the morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the nurse had said was they didn't want to start Pitocin yet. They wanted to try to get me a little bit more dilated first because my doctor was trying to be really conservative with that, right? So they say that it's like 1 centimeter every 1 to 2 hours is sort of what they're aiming for, right? Mm-hmm. So she said, yeah, like by 6 a.m. you should be ready. But I didn't care at that point because I couldn't feel it anymore. And I was just so happy to get that relief, like the whole body relief that came from not having to feel that pain was fantastic. And I also had this great nurse. There was a shift change and I got this fantastic nurse who was like so positive and so like on top of things. And she was like, oh, girl, I got you. I have this like peanut ball technique that we do. We're going to flip you every 2 hours. We're going to get your leg up on it. I know how to get this baby engaged. Like, I know how to get it going. Like, you're in good hands. And I was just like, it is
awesome.
Felt so nice to have that kind of attitude around me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we rested. And I actually took some audio of what it just sounded like for like to be the middle of the night in the labor room. You want to hear?
Mm-hmm. So what's all that buzzing and worrying and everything?
Oh, man. So it was like the baby on the monitor. There's the printouts every so often of like my contraction chart. There's the leg compression things they put you in.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
That was sort of like the buzzing and the deflating you hear every once in a while. There's beeping. So it's not, you know, it's actually like a lot of white noise, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. I'm used to white noise now that I... you know, sleep with my baby monitor next to my bedside and I just hear white noise all the time. So we just sort of did that. Starting around 7 o'clock, we just sort of sat in the quiet. Every once in a while, my nurse would come in, help me change positions, but I wasn't feeling a thing and it was pretty awesome.
Oh, good. What kind of positions were you in? Like on your back, on your side? Were there positions you weren't allowed to be in?
Yeah. So I was on my side because at first when I was first contracting, like way, way earlier in the day, when I was lying on my back, my baby's heartbeat would decelerate a little bit when I was on my back. So they wanted me on my side. So the way that they had me positioned was like I was on my side, slightly tilted forward. So my hips are forward and my upper leg was up on this peanut ball. You know what those things are? They're like,
I can picture it.
They're like two lobed yoga balls, basically. You know, they look like a big old peanut. And she like propped my leg up, trying to get the knee as like close to my head as possible.
Okay.
And she said, like, this is the way to get your cervix to open. She's like, this is she being the nurse. The nurse was like, this always works. This is my tried and true method. We're going to get you positioned properly with the peanut ball. So, yeah, I was on my side with my leg up on the peanut ball.
Okay. So sounds good. Calm. Settled in for the night. What happened next?
Let's see.
So it's 10:48 p.m. I got checked at about 10 o'clock and I was 100% effaced, 9 centimeters.
Oh my God.
And at station -1. So he's moved up. So now I'm in the process of laboring down, as my amazing nurse Jenna has explained it to me, and just we're trying to get some rest, but I'm starting to feel a lot of pressure down below, so it's a little hard to sleep, so I thought I would quickly check in, mostly so I don't forget about all the details, and they're guessing probably between midnight and 1 a.m. I'll start pushing. Hopefully this epidural stays good. I'm feeling a little bit of pain on my left side, but it's like a maybe like a 2. Like, it's absolutely nothing compared to the other pain I was feeling earlier before the epidural. So the nurse said, you know, I could get an extra dose of pain medicine from the anesthesiologist, but the problem would be that I might be so dead that I won't be able to dead down below, that is. I push really well, so I don't want to do that. So I'm just hoping that this doesn't mean that the pain is going to be too bad while I'm pushing. And she even lowered my Pitocin. I was at a 1 whatever milliunit or whatever they would call it, and she lowered it to 0.5, so she said that it's really mostly me, my body, doing the contractions, so that's good. My body's actually doing what it's supposed to. Amazing. Anyway, I'm probably keeping Corey up with my voice memos, so I will sign off.
Wow, that happened fast.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
It's crazy too, because I did not feel it at all. Like, I had to ask the nurse, I was like, am I still contracting? She's like, oh yeah. She's like pointing at the monitor. She's like, every 2 minutes, look. And I was like,
wow.
Not a clue. Had not a clue that was going on all this time.
Oh, epidurals. Oh, praise you. But wait, did you get Pitocin? I missed that.
Yeah. So I forgot to mention that. So I think it was like 9 p.m. or something, they started me on really light Pitocin drip. What the nurse said was most people start at 2 units per whatever. Like, I don't know what the actual unit. She was just saying 1, 2, 3, right? So she was like, most people start at 2 and then you up it to 4. But with the previous C-section, your doctor wants to start with 1. And so she's like, it's a really, really low dose. And okay. I guess I never got above 1. And she actually said that they lowered it down to 0.5 because I progressed so fast. So she said it was really mostly me. It wasn't really like the Pitocin speaking. So
yeah, you and that peanut ball between your legs and your knee by your face. I think that nurse's tricks worked.
Oh, I 100% believe that nurse's trick worked. Like, she really was very confident and knew what she was doing. And I was so grateful for that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, just like, I had no idea that I went from, 3 centimeters at 6 p.m., mm-hmm. to 9 centimeters at like 10 p.m.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, that's much faster than their estimate, mm-hmm. which is great. Great. Plus, you know, my water had broken. Yes. So, you know, there's sort of a clock going on there. My doctor didn't say, like, we have to get this baby out by 24 hours or anything, but he said we would have to start on antibiotics if it had gone a certain amount of time. I don't remember exactly what that was.
Oh,
and I'm pretty sure I got antibiotics at some point. I did. Mm-hmm. I definitely got them at some point. When? I don't know. The nurse was coming in and out. She just probably stuck it in my IV. And I was like, sure, whatever. Let me sleep.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how did you feel about this information?
I was excited. I was like encouraged and also a little terrified because I was like, okay, this whole time I've been saying like I'm open to the idea of a VBAC. But as discussed on the show, it was never like my life's dream to have the VBAC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's a lot of outcomes that can be really scary with a vaginal birth, you know, lots of tearing or, you know, birth injuries, all kinds of stuff. Like, it's a little more unpredictable, I guess, than your just calm scheduled C-section can be. So I was definitely a little nervous. Mm-hmm. And because the epidural had been wearing off on my left side, something I'd never known was apparently epidurals work like a little bit by gravity. So since I was on my right side for a while,
what?
The like medicine was on my right side. And when I, so like my left side was starting to get sensation more.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Isn't it? And I was really worried that when I pushed, that would mean it would be super painful on my left side.
Uh-huh.
But the nurse reassured me that like the pain I was feeling with my contractions or like with the pressure was the worst it was going to get. Like it wasn't going to get worse than it was. And I was like, oh, okay, that's like a 2. Good. That's nothing. So.
Okay. Oh my gosh, Laura, I cannot wait to find out what happens next.
I feel like we're on American Idol and I should be like, we'll find out after this break.
All right, let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and Laura, I'm dying to hear the rest of this story. Tell me what happened next.
Okay, so here's the next update.
Well, it's 11:37, and my pressure down below has really increased, so the nurse just came in, and she said, I'm 10 centimeters, and I'm at a plus one, and she had me do, like, a little trial push with a contraction, and she said, that it was time. So she's calling my doctor and he's coming in, and it's probably unlikely that I'll make it in before midnight. So whoever had the 1st of February in the pool is probably right. But yeah, I think this is really happening. I'm feeling excited and nervous. Still feeling a little pain on my left side, even with the epidural, but hopefully it stays manageable like this and it'll be done soon and I'll have a little baby to take care of. Corey and I both got a little bit of sleep, so that's good. Oh boy, here we go.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. Ah, so close.
So close. Okay, so my nurse had called my doctor, and it's funny, he actually lives in, like, my neighborhood, so it was going to take him, like, 15 minutes to get here, to get to the hospital.
Oh, really? Okay.
he had been on standby, though, so it actually didn't take him that long. But the nurse came in, you know, the doctor was, like, 5 minutes out, and she was like, let's do a push before he gets here. And so I did like one push with her with a contraction. Mm-hmm. Then my doctor comes like strolling in. He puts on his scrubs and his gloves, looks at me and is like, oh, crap. He's like, I got to fully gown up. And he like barely had time to get his like galoshes on. I don't know what you'd call them. Like, you know, they get in these like big like splash gear, essentially. Like, they cover up their shoes and they cover up their like their other scrubs.
It's messy business.
Yeah. And he had me push with my next contraction. And then he had me push with my next contraction. And that was it.
Oh my God. That's it?
I had Corey video it, not from from very far away. You actually can't see anything, which is perfect. Like, you can't see what's going on. You can just hear it. So I went back and timed it from the time I did my trial or like my push with my nurse to when the baby was out was 5.5 minutes.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's crazy. So actually, do you want to hear like the very last push and the baby coming out?
Yes.
Okay.
Congratulations!
Oh, there.
I'm Helen. I'm
going to
be taking care of the baby, okay?
Hey, boy. Yeah. You look real fat. Oh. Hi, sweetie.
Let me just dry him off a little bit.
Hi. You're amazing.
Thank you. That was that.
Oh, I'm going to cry. I'm getting all choked up. That's
aww.
So sweet.
Aww. Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, this little baby really made it convenient for me. And for my doctor, by the way, like cleared up his morning schedule. Oh, so I should say the baby was born at 12:02 a.m.
Oh, my God. February 1st, just by a hair.
Just by a hair. Everyone who had the first in the baby pool just barely made it. So,
yes.
Yeah, but he was 7 pounds on the dot, mm-hmm. 19 mm-hmm. inches, and his head was like in the 35th percentile or something like that.
Well, that's helpful.
That really helped.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I had a VBAC.
You did. Oh my God. So what happens next after that? Like what went on?
So I had to deliver the placenta, which I don't even know what happened. I remember my doctor saying, like, you got to deliver the placenta. And I was like, okay. I'm like, did you just pull it out? Like, I don't know what happened. I didn't push or anything. And then Corey cut the cord, which mm-hmm. was kind of cute, I guess. I don't know. Cool. Cute might be the wrong word for it. He was like, it's kind of tough. It's kind of hard to get through.
Oh!
And I should say, because this show is all about honesty, I did get a first degree tear, which
apparently is that terrible?
No. So it's just a superficial tear. Like if you look it up, I don't know all the details, but like first degree is the least kind of tear you can get other than nothing. Okay. So mm-hmm. my doctor said it just required one suture and that was mm-hmm. it. So hopefully that'll be an easy enough recovery. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, but already I have to say that I feel much better than I did after my C-section, you know, like uh-huh. I could get up and walk around almost, you know, the epidural had to wear off. But like, I remember after that C-section, the first time you get up out of that bed is like kind of terrifying.
It's excruciating.
Yeah. And it wasn't like that for uh-huh. me. It was sore and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all my like muscles were still in place.
Yes. You know? Mm-hmm. That helps.
Yeah. So, but I'll definitely be talking more about, you know, my postpartum recovery and stuff mm-hmm. when we're postpartum. But right now we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a baby.
It's so exciting. Baby. So what was the naming process like? Did you guys have something right off the bat or what?
No. So we had the Google Doc and mm-hmm. it was similar with my other baby. We had like a couple front runners. I guess I can now say like what one of the front runners was that we didn't use.
Yeah.
Which was I was pretty certain we were going to end up naming him Sebastian.
Ooh, that's a great name.
I love it. I still love the name. Corey and I were both really into it. And I had just kind of started thinking about him as Sebastian the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
But then we looked at him and we're like, he's not a Sebastian. Like,
oh, that's interesting.
And so we consulted our short list on the Google Doc, which wasn't that short. It was like 25 days.
That's a lot. Oh, my gosh.
And Corey said a couple of them were jumping out at him. And I said a couple were jumping out at me. And neither of us wanted to be the first one to say which ones were jumping out. And I forced him to say it. I was like, just tell me which one you like. And it turned out to be the one I liked. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it starts with the letter D.
Ah, for those in the pool who chose. Okay.
Yes. And I have to still figure out how I'm going to differentiate between my toddler and my newborn. So that's
on the show, not in life.
On the show. Yeah. In real life, I just call them by their names. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to figure out my equivalent of CC and L.
Okay.
So that I don't have to keep calling them my toddler and my newborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations. You did it.
Thank you.
So exciting.
I feel like this also needs a disclaimer because, like, I feel like so much shit around this pregnancy. I feel so lucky and also, like, mildly embarrassed with how easy certain things have come with it, you know? And to be fair, like, not everything has been easy with this pregnancy. I had excruciating, like, SPD pain for the majority of it.
Right.
Terrible heartburn. Like, it wasn't an easy pregnancy, but, like, I got pregnant super easy, and then I had this, like, kind of accidental VBAC, and I feel... I feel a little embarrassed by it because I know so many people work so hard to have this outcome and it means so much to them. And I feel like some people are going to listen and be like, you know, fuck this lady. So I apologize if it's triggering for anyone. I really truly was on team, like, just get a healthy baby out of me, however it works out. So this is how it has happened to work out.
Well, maybe it's giving people encouragement to be like, you know what? Maybe it can be great for me. Maybe it can, you know, be easy enough. So I don't think it's all negative.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Yeah, I hope that's the takeaway, that it doesn't all have to be. I guess we hear all these, like, super dramatic birth stories all the time, right? You don't hear the, like, yeah, it wasn't so bad. We went in, had it done. It was a little painful. Yeah. Got that epidural. It was fine.
You know, yeah, like, exactly.
So that's my contribution to the birth story world. It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
A-okay.
It was A-okay. So I had a baby, but I think we've gone on a long time with this check-in and special segment. I think we should move on to our BFPs and BFNs. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yeah, just a sweet little outing that our family had this week that was really fun. You know, we don't go very many places because of the pandemic, and we don't even get out to parks all of that much. But this weekend, I was like, you know, I really want to just get out of the house with these kids and go see some nature. So there's a really wonderful park with tons of hiking trails nearby. And so I was like, that's where we should go. There's a big open space in the middle with lots of trees, and people like to bring their dogs and fly kites. And it's big enough that we'll all have our own space and, you know, be safe. And so we did that. And it was so fun just to see other people. I mean, it sounds so crazy, but it was really fun to see everyone out there exercising and with their dogs and their kids. And that in itself was fun. And Cece kind of going on her first hike. I mean, we didn't hike very far up into the mountains, but, you know, on like a dirt trail. Like, last time I went out there with her, she was like in an infant carrier. And now she's a 2-year-old actually walking along this little trail. So that was really fun. But the thing that just, like, warmed my heart so much is that, you know, she has been in this quarantine for almost a year now. We're going on 11 months. And she doesn't see other people really, you know, other than our family, because we're very homebound during this thing. We live with a more at-risk person in our households. We are very conservative. And so sometimes I'm just like, what is she going to think of other people? Like, is she going to be scared? What's it going to be like when things open back up? So we're out on this trail and there's tons of people. and it warmed my heart so much. She said hi or hello to almost every single person we passed. She was so excited to see people. Nothing's cuter than a little 2-year-old taking the initiative to say hi. You know, everyone was kind of caught off guard. They're just like, because I'm not saying hi. She is.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, oh, hi. She's like, hello. Hi. Hello.
Oh, how cute.
So cute. I just loved seeing that so much and warmed my heart and made me think, okay, you know, maybe she's not going to turn out to be some weirdo. Like, everyone's worried their kids are going to turn out to be these, like, weirdos after the quarantine. They don't see anyone or interact with anyone. And it just felt normal. It felt just completely normal and giving me a little light at the end of the tunnel. So I really, really loved that.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. Yeah. It breaks my heart because, like, my toddler, Corey's been taking him to this basketball court nearby that's, like, always pretty much empty, so he can, like, try to ride a scooter or just run around. Mm-hmm. And when we drive, like, I went and joined them right the day before the baby was born. And when we pull up, he goes, "People's at the basketball court?" He goes, and you know, he knows that we were supposed to say, like, no, there's no people, because that's what we want, right? If there's people on the basketball court, we have to go. But it was like, oh man, he's so conscious of whether there's people there, you know? People on the basketball court? Like, oh.
Yeah, it's those little things. It's like, oh yeah, that's so odd. And just even just having to wear a mask, you know, a little 2-year-old having to keep her mask on the whole time. It's just, you know, it's off, but it is what it is. And they're so resilient. And
they are. And it's so nice that you got to have that big outing and get fresh air and all that.
Oh, yeah. And they were climbing this tree. Like, this tree was kind of growing out of the ground sideways and had a really big trunk. And they were just climbing up this trunk and pretending they were kitty cats with claws. And it was so wonderful. It was just a really great change of pace for us. So it was awesome.
That sounds great. I think you should make a habit of that.
I do, too. I will. I will. I will. All right. What about you? BFP or BFN this week?
There's a lot to choose from, I have to say. I mean, it could be. It's definitely a BFP. Mm-hmm. I feel like the obvious answers are like, Corey, my new baby, the epidural, you know, all that stuff.
Epidural. Uh-huh.
But I actually do have a BFP that I thought about this week. And my BFP is my friend Erica.
Uh-huh.
Who is a maternal fetal medicine specialist. I've talked about her on the show here and there. She's like one of my oldest friends. We've been friends since elementary school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she works at Stanford. She's like super smart, amazing person who knows everything there is to know about maternal fetal medicine. Mm-hmm. And when I got pregnant, I texted her and told her, and, you know, we were talking about pregnancy stuff. And I asked her at some point what she thought about VBACs. And I thought she would just say, like, oh, you know, it's safer to do a C-section or whatever. And she was the first person to say, like, I love VBACs. She was like, she's very, very pro VBAC. And she was really, like, encouraging me to consider it. And she's my BFP this week because I realize I don't think I would have considered it at all if it hadn't been for her encouragement. Aww. I think I would have just been like, you know, it's just easy, simple. Let's just do the repeat C-section.
Mm-hmm.
And without her, like, sort of explaining to me all the, like, different benefits and the ways you can go about it, I don't think it would have actually ended up happening.
Right.
So I just really have to, like, credit her for planting that idea in my head and also, like, being very supportive throughout pregnancy, you know, just giving me advice on it, but never pushing it, never being like, this is the one and only way there is. You have to do it this way. She was just very practical and gave me the info I needed. And now I'm really happy that I did it because, you know, it is very cool that I've gotten to experience both types of birth and that my recovery is going much smoother. So
that's so wonderful.
So Erica, you're probably not listening because you are way too busy, but I will text you and let you know that I appreciate you a lot.
Aw, that's so great. Yay, Erica.
Yeah. Yay, Erica. But that's it for me this week. I got some baby to take care of.
Yes.
So I should probably get going.
Okay. All right. Listeners, if you have anything you want to chime in about this episode, Laura's journey, your thoughts on VBACs, anything, reach out to us. We love hearing from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to email us, you can always include a voice memo in that email to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Finally, you should join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community in Facebook. It's a private group, so you have to request to join. Answer the membership questions, and we'll get you right on through to the really great conversations we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let everyone know about BFP. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.